All right, welcome back to the Watch Well podcast. This is part two. We are discussing Steven Crowder's video on the transgender drag night for kids. My name is Parker, and this is my co-host, Nick. You know, I got to throw that in, Nick. You ready for part two?
Every time, I'm ready. I want to just real quick. Yeah, so I brought up the fact that we were blind. It's kind of interesting. We both brought up similar stories, but we were this past Saturday. We were blindsided by Pride Night, right? And we at the soccer game, and we ended up not staying. And I mentioned that it was a lot of reasons, but that wasn't the only reason. So we went to our seats, and this was kind of a symbol for the whole experience. But we went to our seats, we sat down, and there were bleacher seats. And then about 3 feet to my right, a probably 6-year-old kid out of nowhere starts projectile vomiting everywhere. And so we moved seats, and then we're like, this is just messed up. We're heading out. And we ended up leaving, and it was probably 5 minutes into the game. So that's the whole story. We were blindsided by Pride Night, Pride Parade at halftime, and then vomit everywhere. So that's the story of our Saturday evening.
There's been better Saturdays.
There's been better Saturdays.
Yeah. Oh, man, that is just rough. First world problems, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Rejoice in suffering.
Yeah, there we go.
That's all you can do. So, Nick, you were asking me a lot in part one about my opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty, you know, honest and upfront. Some would say harsh about mine. What do you think? What do you think about the kids' drag night?
Well, so it definitely rises to a level of concern, because I think, like what you said, there's more prominence, even if not the events themselves. Like, even if those types of things aren't really prominent, and I don't know how to define whether they're more prominent than they were. I mean, in some ways, existing at all is more prominent than they have been in the past. But so there's definitely a level of concern, because, you know, as it stands now, our daughter goes to a private Christian school, preschool, so we're not really concerned there. But our boy does go to a public school. So and you send them away for the entire day, and you never know necessarily, unless they bring back what they're learning, you never know exactly all the time what teachers are saying to them, what content they're learning, what they're watching on screens, and things like that. So there is a level of uncomfort there and concern. But at the exact same time as that, the only time I ever see this issue arise is when I'm on social media or YouTube. Or consuming some type of media. Does that make sense?
So I just want to be clear. Your assertion is that it's so not prominent that the only time you see it anywhere outside of social media and the news is maybe if you go to one of the schools that make the news. Or live in a obviously more left-leaning political climate.
Yes and no. So I guess all I was really trying to say, and maybe this is a better way to say it, is that I think our media consumption makes a lots of things, not just this issue, but lots of issues seem more prominent and more prevalent in our culture than they actually are if you were to run the numbers. If that makes sense.
Okay. So
it
can
makes
we,
them feel no, no. more active. So like you wake up and you see, so every morning on our local news, there's been a new shooting in Indianapolis, right? Have shootings actually gone up, or have our awareness of what was already taking place gone up?
Yeah. I can tell you they'd go down if more people carried guns.
Fair enough. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you there.
You gotta put those weapons on the table.
On that. So, do what?
I said you got to put those weapons on the table, man.
Yes, you do. That's for those that which no one knows but us, but you know, that's a foreshadowing of things to come. But so yeah, definitely. So, but I guess that's point number one. So like, I definitely have a level of concern about the rising prominence, so kid friendly drag show, just like the video that we watched portrays it. It's kind of an oxymoron. It's like kid friendly drag show. The very nature of a drag show and the sexual nature of it should not be presented to kids.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. I think that goes without saying.
Kind of like a kid friendly strip club.
Right. But at the same time, it doesn't seem to be like this mass scale thing that occurs daily.
Okay, so let me ask you this question. So I think with the way you clearly stated that, I think I would agree. I think generally I would agree. The question is and correct me if I'm being too broad, but overwhelmingly I would put my money, if I was a betting man, down on the people who don't believe in that stuff are not very loud, and the people who do believe in that stuff
that plays into it big time
are really loud. And and then coupled with that, do you believe that there are more Christians than non-Christians in the world
as a whole?
Okay, let's say the United States.
The United States, probably not.
Probably more non-Christians?
I would say that there, if you were to do a ratio of just simply by self-identifying, which I wouldn't necessarily say is true.
I guess
sense,
so. Like, if you were a betting man and you were able to read people's hearts, would you bet that there are more Christians or more non-Christians?
I would say there's likely almost certain more non-Christians.
Okay, so then that means that more people are susceptible to this kind of thinking, this vain philosophy.
I think it means that more people are already enslaved to all sorts of things, and including this kind of philosophy.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're on the same page. So more people would be willing to stand up for transgender ideology, or, you know, to take your words, any sin ideology, mm-hmm. Than not.
Yeah.
Okay. So before you stated that it's not prevalent, but there's more people willing to stand for it than not. What is...
Well, yeah. Go ahead, finish the question.
No, that was it. I'm just trying to piece everything together because I think it's important. It's not prevalent. We both agree there. We both have common ground there. But it's also common ground that more people are willing to support what's not prevalent. What does that predict?
I don't know that.
Am I making sense or?
Yeah. So I don't know that more people currently in our world are willing to support, or currently in the United States are willing to support. I mean, and if so, I mean, studies, if you trust any studies, they kind of show that it's kind of like a dying thing. 55-45 split. So even if it is more people are willing to support, it's not a significant amount. And generally, I think the majority, you know, we talked a lot about this, in a way gets away from the kids at a drag show issue, but, you know, transgender, biological males participating in women's sports, most people are against that. You know, like even people who support that agenda are against that type of thing. But that's not the biggest issue. So what I would say is more people are generally susceptible to false ideologies and detrimental ideologies because they are not following Christ, which means they aren't, anyone who's not following Christ by nature is not in their right mind. You can go to,
I agree. Yeah, no.
Yeah. So just that general aspect of things is accurate. But what I meant by saying that it doesn't seem as prominent is specifically events like this, right? So this was, and maybe it's growing, and maybe it's just not reached my kind of area like it has other places. And I'm not going to deny that at all, because it, So for that reason, because I haven't had the face-to-face, the interaction in that way, the tangible experience with it, you know.
Well, let's define that, because you just went to a soccer game and experienced that.
Right, Pride Night, for sure.
So
yeah,
I guess what is your standard of experience to say that you've come face-to-face with it?
Yeah, I wasn't even considering really thinking about that, but
because I mean, so my wife grew up playing volleyball, and mm-hmm. and there were a lot of men who, on their own terms, claimed to be homosexual around my wife when we were dating and in high school and in that volleyball club. So obviously they didn't play, they were coaches, because it was women's volleyball, and men playing in women's sports hadn't, I mean, obviously back then, I mean, this was, what, almost 10 years ago, so that hadn't really come about, so I don't know. It's just interesting. I was just curious as to, you know, I've experienced that since then. I mean, I'm sure that there's, I know we're getting a little off topic here, but in terms of the sports, but I think it all kind of blends a little, doesn't it? Because if you look at this through the lens of truth, really what we're saying is sin is sin, and it doesn't matter what it looks like, and we're just being desensitized to it, so that we kind of we start to throw this around. You know, I was talking to a guy at church, and I was asking him. He's not really affiliated with our church, but he comes to the church, and he's kind of around, and I was asking him his opinions on sin, and he says he doesn't really believe in sin. He believes in mistakes. And that's essentially desensitization, right? Because the truth is, sin is real.
Yeah.
Because his words to me were, sin just feels heavy.
Yeah.
Because it is.
It should. It should feel heavy.
And it is heavy. It just shows that we're missing the mark, and you know, we've done a 180 from being desensitized to saying, oh, sin is no longer sin, they're just mistakes, to now celebrate your truth and you are whoever you say you are. So I think it all kind of blends, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's why I answered your question of, you know, are there more Christians or non-Christians? With it depends on if we're accepting just strictly how people self-identify,
right?
Because there's a lot of people who would say they're a Christian, but would say things like, "Oh, I don't believe the Bible, though. I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus wasn't a real person; he's a spirit." Like
the emotional appeal. I don't need to read the Bible.
Yeah.
I can just pray and I feel a certain way, you know, and
right.
I feel so, like, I mean, go ahead.
There's all kinds of things like that that exist. And, but that very nature of things. So the United States in particular has accepted people's self-identification so much that bleeds over into the culture at large in, I can't deny somebody's self-identification. Does it make sense? Like, we've allowed people to just say, I'm a Christian, what I'm doing is okay. Rather than confronting them and saying things that might be hard to say, confrontational, but calling them back to repentance. Like, we call that legalism now. And we've done that for a very long time, since before I was born. Mm-hmm. We've been doing that in the Christian church in our country. And we've allowed the label of Christian to just be something that I claim, right? It's just something that I say that I am, and now we're all baffled by the fact that people are saying that they are things that make no sense. Well, for many in our country for years and years, it made no sense that they were saying they were Christian, because they went home and abused their kids. They went home and abused their wife. They were having affairs. They were doing all these things while all the while claiming Christ. It made no sense that they were claiming they were Christian, and we didn't challenge it. We didn't confront it. We didn't call out their sin and call them to repentance. And the fruit of that is what we have now.
mm-hmm.
which is I cannot question somebody else's self-identity. If they say they are something, then I have to buy into that.
Or just don't talk about it.
Or not talk about it. And that's the type of thing that we're teaching across generations now is this, that there's no identity greater than your self-identity, which means if I say, if I identify as a Christian, who are you to tell me that I'm not, right? Doesn't whether I believe Jesus in the Bible, whether I actually believe the gospel or not, I identify as a Christian. Who are you to tell me that I'm not? Right. And now it's, you know, and it could be anything else. I identify as a woman and I'm biologically male. Who are you to tell me that I'm not? Because we've lost the ability to confront things that we just naturally know are wrong. Because we didn't do it in the church, we haven't been doing it for years and years and years. And, you know, people buying into the belief, oh, I went down and prayed a prayer, therefore now I'm a Christian. I can identify as a Christian for the rest of my life and just do whatever I want. Like, I see all of this as connected to each other. It's like a pandemic
you're right.
Self-identification.
You're right. And well, let's draw a line here too, because who's to blame?
In a lot of ways, it's our
the person,
spiritual leaders and pastors and teachers and
agreed, because it can't be the person who goes down and prays the prayer, accepts Jesus, because there's a lot of emotion in that,
for sure.
There's a lot of humility in that,
yeah.
And that's all well and good, but if it's not followed up by good structured teaching, Bible reading, and I don't mean Bible reading in the terms of you have to read your Bible every day. I mean like willingness to understand Scripture, and live that out.
So yeah, and so, all that I just said about self-identification could be offensive to some people,
right?
Like, hey, I'm a Christian, and I don't believe the Bible 100%. Why? What are you saying about me? So I want to make it clear that I'm not necessarily saying that this person who's sinning is certainly 100% not a Christian. What I'm saying is they're identifying as something that their life is not reflecting.
Correct.
They're identifying something that the fruit of their life, what they are demonstrating, is not in accordance with what they're identifying as. And so
very similar to your example of a man who identifies as a woman has very different biological structures and makeups than a woman.
Yes.
They're not made in accordance to their self-identification.
Right.
No differently than a Christian who claims to be a Christian and doesn't live like the Bible teaches Christians to live. There's a disconnect.
Yeah, there's a huge disconnect. And so, like, getting to the point where we're willing to confront those things, right? Where we're willing to say, whether it's, you know, pastors and sermons calling things sin that the Bible says are sin, and actually preaching through the Word and training the people that are attending their church and hearing them preach, or whether it's through, you know, one-on-one conversations of discipleship and study together and grow together and things like that. However, whatever form that takes, we have to be willing to have those difficult conversations and that conflict. That when, let's say, if you and I are having a conversation, and just in the flow of conversation, you bring up something that you're doing that you know and I know the Bible calls sin, but you're minimizing it. You're saying, you know, I struggle with it. It's just a small little mistake. It's just something, you know, I think maybe I'll stop, or maybe I'll try to stop, you know, but you're minimizing it. It's my job as a brother in Christ to say, hey, no, God hates what you're doing. God doesn't look at this as something minuscule or minor. He looks at this and he hates it. And he hates it so much that the penalty for it was death. And by his grace, the death that was died was Jesus. And now are you really just going to minimize your sin that put Jesus on the cross and just live in it like it's not a big deal? Like, it's my job to, as a brother in Christ, to say that and to confront somebody with that reality.
Yeah. And I want to add something too, because it's so vital. It's so vital. That is love.
Mm-hmm.
And going along with what you've said about the history of the church and how we've adopted this, don't talk or allow them to do what they're doing because I love them. That's not love. That's hate.
Right. Right.
The doctor that doesn't give the cancer patient medicine knows that they have cancer and just lies to them so that they feel better is not a good doctor. He wouldn't be a good physician, right?
Yeah, for sure.
A brother in Christ that allows his brother to continually sin with no attempt to repent and turn from that sin, and now starts justifying exactly what you just said, Nick, where you're like, oh, it's just a mistake. If it was alcohol, we would have called that person, we would have checked the box, like, oh, what do alcoholics usually say?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's what we do. We're sinaholics. Mm-hmm. And if it was any other context, we'd be like, oh, they're addicted to porn or they're addicted to alcohol. But mm-hmm. because it's this, oh, it's this mistake and this, you know, whatever. And, oh, I could stop when I want to. And, you know, it's the same course.
The only way to experience God's grace is to recognize how awful you are without it.
Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of humility. Like humility is not of our own.
Yeah. I mean, even the Apostle Paul, you know, in Romans says, oh, wretched man that I am.
Yeah. There's no one righteous, not even one.
The greater you see your sin, and when you see your sin for what it is, the death-causing thing that it is, that's when you can truly experience and understand the grace of God to remove the penalty from you. The grace of God to send Jesus and to take on that penalty. Like, when I see the depravity of the human heart and the depths of that, that's when we actually experience and see the grace of God for what it is, as an overwhelming, amazing gift that he's given. Like, it's we can't do that if we're minimizing our sin or saying something isn't sin when it clearly is, right? When it clearly isn't in Scripture. But I'll say that aspect of it is, that's for believers.
Yes.
So when somebody, this gets back to this self-identity thing, when somebody self-identifies, I am a believer in Christ, I am a follower of Christ, I'm a Christian, you know, Christian, the word Christian means little Christ. So I'm a follower in Christ. What you're saying is you're walking as Christ walked, you're living as Christ lived, you're following in his footsteps, basically. And so when somebody says that, there is a certain way of living that goes in accordance with that, and we should call out inconsistencies. But on the flip side of that, for an unbeliever, there is no inconsistency. They're inconsistent with the truth, but in terms of their belief, they're not being inconsistent. Does it make sense?
Well, their belief is inconsistent with
their belief itself.
Right.
Their starting point is confusion and chaos because they haven't been born again.
So more chaos would be consistent.
Right. So what chaos breeds chaos, mm-hmm. but we have a God who breathes order into chaos. He takes something that is vastly chaotic and then brings order to it and allows it to flourish and grow. That's what he does. That's what he does through Christ. He takes something chaotic and allows it to flourish. That's what he did with the earth. There was nothing. There was a void. And he took that and made it ordered. He took something chaotic and made it ordered, brought order to it. So that's just the type of God we have. So with that, when a Christian is living, or sorry, when a non-Christian is living in a non-Christian way, that's consistency.
Yep.
So that's exactly what, so when we're looking at a world that is vastly, or even a country or a town, a city, whatever we're looking at, that is vastly opposed to belief in Christ, what we should expect is chaos. We should expect their lives to look like confusion. We should expect their lives to look like chaos. And so the answer to that is not just simply to go proclaim how they're wrong, right? Which that's part of it, that that's an aspect of it, but to just call them out for being wrong. Oh, this is awful. This is a travesty. This is indoctrination. This is awful things. These are terrible things happening. Yes, terrible things are happening. Chaotic things are happening. Confusing things are happening. But the only thing that can bring somebody out of that confusion, whatever it is, whether it's the transgender confusion, whether it's anything, whatever sin it is, the only thing that can bring somebody out of that is repentance and belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. He gives you his spirit inside of you, that is what brings order. So until we're able to bring somebody to that point and to proclaim the gospel to them, which includes how wrong they are, it definitely includes that, but it's one aspect of it, which is then, this is so wrong, this is evil, yet Christ sent his son to die for sinners like you. God sent his son to the cross to take the penalty for sinners like you. And then upon their acceptance, then we start to teach them discipleship. We start to teach them how to walk with the Lord. We start to confront them about sins in their life and how to change. And that's a progressive thing. Sanctification is progressive over time, not just I've accepted Christ and now I'm as good as I'm ever going to be.
Perfect. Yeah. No, right. That doesn't exist.
So my view is, and there was a guy in the Crowder video that seemed to be actually taking this approach where he's out there, he's attempting to pray for people and to proclaim Christ to them. He's not out there telling them how wrong they are, right? He's not out there telling them, you know, you're going to burn in hell for this, you know, which is an aspect of the gospel, right? That we are condemned in our sin, whatever sin that is. The only way to bring order to that chaos and confusion, though, is the way that God did it, which is by sending his son into the world to take on flesh and to do what we couldn't, to live a perfect life that we couldn't, to die a death that we deserve, and then give us life through those means, right? Through trusting in Christ, we can have life eternal. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right?
Yep.
His only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't sure if you wanted me to finish what you were saying.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. I actually had a like a brain fart moment there where I just had to pause. I was like, what am I saying again? No. But yeah, so I guess that's my thought, is so much of what I see is just simply the negative condemnation of specifically this sin. So the LGBTQ movement and all of those sets of sin, what I see most often is strictly the condemnation to those people, right? And yes, condemnation is one part of the gospel, and it's one part that's meant to turn us to the gospel, but we also need to be proclaiming that gospel in its entirety, not just that part. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Are you tracking with me?
I gotcha.
Yeah. So if we're hoping for change, if we're hoping to turn culture, to turn things around, it's not going to be through, you know, just talking about how awful things are.
And see, I see it from a different kind of lens. I see it the opposite almost, where when it comes to that, you see the condemnation and you see the you're dead in your sin, and this is a sin and judgment, right?
Mm-hmm.
I see it from the other lens, just from my experience, where it's, oh, we need to love them. Oh, we need to love them. We need to love them. We need to love them. And then we never actually talk about what a sin is.
Yeah. And that's not acceptable.
And that's not acceptable either. Now, it's not inclusive. The love that these people, you know, in my circle or that I've come across, you know, my life as a Christian is not inclusive. They'll say that that person is wrong, but they never actually have the conversation with that person that it's wrong, or it's, let's be friends with them for like 5 to 10 years or whatever it is, and then maybe we'll open up. And I'm not saying that that's a wrong way to do it. I'm just saying that we need to be okay with having those harsh conversations, because if we don't, the fruit we bear from that is there's no need for that person to have Jesus.
Right.
If you don't talk about sin, why do if it's not talked, it doesn't exist, right? If you don't talk about it, it doesn't exist. So so if no one approaches me about my sin or even teaches me that it is sin, why do I need Jesus? You know, that's the question that nobody will be able to answer. And that's why it's so vital, and I 100% agree, when you pivoted and said, you need the whole thing.
Yeah. You can't stop at condemnation.
You can't stop at condemnation, and you can't only love.
Right.
Or what most people define as view as love. You can't do one or the other, or vice versa. You have to do the whole thing. This is a sin, and I'm telling you because I care about you and I love you. And if you claim to be a Christian, you need to repent and you need to live the life that you're called to live and be obedient.
Yeah. And by the way, we might end up having to do a part three. We'll see.
Cool.
So
back to the video where we're getting involved in kids and all of this, and I know we've been kind of all over the place. We've been hovering around the topic, but as a parent who's a Christian, Nick,
mm-hmm.
how do you handle that? Your kid comes home and says, "Hey, I've got this homework, and it's got, you know, stuff about transgenderism. It's got stuff about homosexuality," or mm-hmm. you're you know, driving down the road in your local area and there's a drag show that kids are going to, or kids at school are talking about a drag show that somebody went to, or, you know, even just something as simple as like, hey, I've got this really good friend and he's got two moms or he's got two dads.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to handle those in not necessarily with that particular kid or those particular parents, but with our kids?
Mm-hmm.
How do we handle that? How do we navigate those conversations? And we can talk back and forth about it a little bit, because again, this isn't scripted. But
yeah, so we've got less than a minute, by the way.
Okay.
You just wanna
start with part three. You wanna?
Yeah, maybe we should do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do part three. Stay tuned, guys.